Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Anybody excited for New Year's Eve? Yeah, we're going to party like it's 1999 up in here. Yeah, we are. Hey, anybody enjoy Christmas Eve here at Christ Fellowship? Anybody? Yeah? It was my first one. So honored here. Let us just give it up for all the volunteers that helped make it up. Let's give it up for them, the volunteers. It's because of the volunteers, the ones that ushered and hosted and communion, we were able to invite and welcome over 2,800 people on Christmas Eve here to Christ Fellowship. And so if you've volunteered in any way between Jason, the band, or like I said, anything up the lights up there, the sound guys, any of those guys, man, you made a difference. You made us be able to open up our doors to more and more people. And so I just want to thank you specifically. Christmas Eve service, I shared that I made a purchase that I may or may not regret someday. I bought a dog for my family, my wife and I. And so some of you have been asking, you know, what's this dog look like? I shared a little golden doodle. So I thought I would bring a picture. And everybody said, oh, this was like 5 minutes before we unveiled this little girl. She is a golden doodle. Her name is Timber. And I think her middle name is going to be Tootsie because she looks like a little Tootsie Roll rolling around. Just a little fat brown thing rolling around. And she is amazing, but let me tell you, she brings some change to our house. No longer can I have my hamburger sitting on the coffee table because it's going to be gone, right? We can't leave socks laying around the house because guess what? She's going to ingest those. And the vet told me it's pretty pricey to open up an intestine. I don't want to do that, right? So we made some changes to how we take care of our stuff. And our kids are learning, right, babe? We're trying to teach them. And even our bedtime routine, you know, it's like having a little baby in the house. Like she is in a crate. We're trying to do the crate thing in my room, and she lets me know when she needs to go number one and number two in the middle of the night. And so I've been waking up 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, but by God's grace, let me just tell you the goodness of God. Last night she slept 6 hours straight. Praise Jesus. Yes, for the little things, right? So we're talking about changes of a dog, but how many of you know this new year, this new season, this 2018, leaving 2007 is an opportunity to change some things, right? Many people love to change things when there's a new season because when that calendar rolls over to 2018 from 2017, it's a fresh start. And some of us said amen to that. I need a fresh start in 2018. And so many of us, whether we like it or not, we're going to make some commitments or what we call New Year's resolutions, right? Some of us. Now, some of us are a little sarcastic about that. Sarcastic, that would be an interesting word. My wife loves when I make up words when I'm teaching. She really just, she loves it. She loves it so much, don't you hate? Yeah. She hates it. She does. And she tells me about it. Don't you worry. She keeps me humble for sure. So I found a few things that I thought would be appropriate for us to consider. So this lady, she's writing down her New Year's resolution. She says, my New Year's resolution is to be more positive and less sarcastic. I mean, sarcastic. Like, I won't screw that up right away. Like, how many of us are like that right there? Like, I'm not even going to do it because I'm going to mess it up, right? Or maybe this gentleman right here, you've seen this floating around. I can't believe it's been a year since I didn't become a better person. 365 days later, you're still the same person you were last year. Okay, this last one is this couple. They're having a great dinner. Here's to becoming the best possible versions of ourselves in 2018. For the first few weeks, right? Like this is the reality. You go to the gym in January, you gym rats, like you're gonna be inundated with people, but February, March, April, nobody's gonna be there, right? Because we start out strong sometimes and we don't end so well sometimes. Now we're laughing about New Year's resolutions, but I'm gonna tell you as your pastor, I love New Year's resolutions because at the core of a New Year's resolution is a goal. And I've been always a goal-oriented person, whether it comes to sports, whether it comes to my business ventures, whether it came to being a pastor, leading a church. Like, I think it's important that we have goals and we set a trajectory to meet those goals. And so I'm all for New Year's resolutions. And so maybe today you're considering what changes would you like to make? And so you're in luck. I came with a list of the top five New Year's resolutions, or what we're going to say code word, goals, for 2018. And so I think we have them up here. Maybe you want to choose one of these. Number one, lose weight. Not you, the person beside you. Number two, getting organized. You know, we don't know anything about that in our house. My wife keeps a good job of that. Number three, spend less, save more. If the government would do this, we would be all better place. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. Number five, stay fit. Stay fit. That means we got to be fit. That's hard to do sometimes. Stay fit and healthy. So maybe you would choose one of these resolutions, or maybe you already have some resolutions. But a resolution is what we are endeavoring to do, right? Like, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do something different. That's what a resolution is, which, once again, I think is good. But today, I don't want this to be about you. I'm sorry. It's not going to be about you today. Today, I want us to look at some promises. Not promises that we make ourselves, not some vows that we say we're going to change things. Today, I want to look at some promises that God has made that I believe and I'm praying for that will be fulfilled in 2018. And so we're going to look at God's promises and say, these are the things that I, as your pastor, am praying over our body, as a church, that I'm praying over myself and praying over my family. Now, before we get to the promises of God, we've got to look at the origin of the promise. How many of you know anybody can make a promise, right? Anybody can make a promise, but not everybody keeps their promises. And some of us are like, yeah, preach it, Derek, right? But so whenever somebody makes a promise, we've got to look at the origin. And so when we look at these promises that God makes, we've got to look at the origin. Who is it that's making these promises to us? And the thing that comes to mind is we are looking at the promises of God that we call faithful, right? The Old Testament is filled with verse after verse that talks about the faithfulness of God. But here's a few. Numbers 23:19. This is what the scripture says. God is not a man that he should lie. Did you know it's impossible for God to lie? Can't do it. It's his character. It's truth. He can't lie. He says, God is not a man he should not lie, or that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? What the author is saying, listen, if God says it, it's going to happen. If he has spoken out, it's not going to return void. If God says it, he's going to be faithful to fulfill it. In Joshua, the writer is talking about the Israelites, and this is what he says about God's faithfulness. Not one of the good promises which the Lord has made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. The author's saying, God made so many promises to his people called the Israelites, and every one of those promises has come to pass. Every one. See, God is faithful. When we look at the promises of God, we can trust him. We can take him to the bank every day. We know that God is faithful even when we aren't faithful. Just let that sink in a little bit. That's what the New Testament writer says, that God is faithful even when we're not faithful. This is who God is. He told Abram, hey, you're going to have a kid. He was an old dude. And guess what? He had a kid, and not only one kid, but he's considered the father of nations. He told Moses, listen, I'm going to set my people free through you, even though you got a stuttering issue. He told Noah, listen, I'm making a promise. I'm never going to flood the earth again. Guess what? He's never flooded the earth again. He told the Israelites, hey, I'm going to send a Messiah, a Savior that's going to release you from your sin. And we just celebrated the fact that he fulfilled his promise in Jesus. He's faithful. And then Jesus, we also see that in Ezekiel, through the prophet Ezekiel, he said, listen, I'm going to put my spirit, my Holy Spirit, inside my people. And he fulfilled that promise at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. God is faithful. We can trust him at his word. And so we're going to look at some promises that God has for us and things that I'm praying over. And so I want to start in Matthew 7. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to the first book in the New Testament. In Matthew 7, we're going to be in the middle of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's an amazing message that Jesus taught towards the beginning of his ministry and taught all kinds of things, ethics, morals, what it looks like to have faith, what it looks like to walk with God and listen to God. But in the midst of this, we see this amazing promise that Jesus makes to his disciples. And this same promise is true for us today. So I'm going to read in chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if he has a son who asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now in this passage, we see three real promises. He says, those that ask will receive, those that seek will find, those that knock, the door will be open. These are promises from God that are true for us today. Now, as I was thinking about this analogy, and he talks about you being a sinner, an evil person, you know how to give good gifts, just like this last Christmas. I was thinking about my wife and kids. So how many of you know when my kids are around, my three kids, and they have a need and my wife is present in the room, guess who they ask for that need? All the moms said, the mom, right? And my wife's sitting there shaking her head like, how dare they, right? Because they first ask. If she's there, they're gonna ask mama. But what if I'm there and my wife is in another room? They don't ask dad, do they? No, they begin to seek, right? They leave that room and they begin to go seek, where is mom? And they begin to go from room to room to room until they find mom, right? They put a little effort into it. They ask when she's there, but if she's not there, they're gonna seek her out and then they're gonna ask. But then if they seek her out and they can't find her, guess what then they do? They begin to knock, because mama's probably locked herself in the upstairs room, bathroom, just to get a moment. And so these kids, they're asking, she's not there, they're seeking, they can't find her, so guess what they do? I know where she is. She's in the master bathroom getting a little moment of sanity. And guess what the kids do? They go up there and they begin to knock. And then they keep knocking. And they knock until what? Till the door is open, right? This is literally what Jesus is inviting us to do. It's an invitation to pursue him, to ask him, to find him. This is what he's saying. And so he says these three things. Ask, number one, in 2018, if you want to find God, if you want to receive from God, you've got to ask God. The scripture says, you have not because you ask not. Listen, I'm telling you, some of us are not experiencing the fullness God has for you because we are not asking him. So in 2018, what if we take God for this promise? If you ask, you'll receive. Now, what's interesting about this list is it increases intensity, each one of these. Asking is easy, right? Like, I just need words to ask. When mama's there, I ask her. When I'm talking to God, sometimes I ask and he gives immediately. And those are great moments, right? But sometimes it's not just given in that moment. Sometimes we have to seek. And he says, if you seek, you'll find. And asking's easy. But then that next thing is seeking. Seeking requires a little bit more from me. Requires a little bit more effort, right? It requires me to actually go and look it out. Like my kids walking around the house, they're seeking out mama. That's what we're called to do for God. When we're asking him for something and we don't see it, we're called to then begin to seek. And that means I'm gonna get in the word of God and I'm gonna look for it. I'm gonna go look for some godly counsel and say, God, guys, will you speak into my life? What do you see? This is what I'm asking of God. And so I'm actually seeking it out. And so it goes ask, and then if I don't receive it, then I begin to seek. And then that third one, is another one, it's knock, right? That knock, 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 which sounds a little interesting, but that word picture that knocking it represents is persistence or perseverance. So I've asked God, I didn't get it. I've sought God out, I didn't get what I asked. And now he says, will you continue to persevere in asking me? Keep knocking at the door. And what he says is that door will be open to us, right? Persistence, perseverance. This is what we're called to, and these are the promises that God has for us in 2018. Now, what's interesting about the tense of these verbs is the translation would be better, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You see, it's this ongoing, present thing that we're called to do, because God isn't interested in you asking him one time and being done with him, right? He says, keep on asking me. Why? Because I want an ongoing relationship with you. I want an ongoing communion with you. I want to be in your presence ongoing, not just when you need me, but all the time. Because, oh, by the way, you need me all the time. It says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And so what would that look like for you in 2018 to fulfill this out, to see God answer this promise? One scholar said, ask for what you do not possess. Seek for what is not apparent. Knock that the obstacles may be removed. I think that's a beautiful way of expressing what Jesus is saying here. And what I love about Jesus is he clearly sums up and gives us this analogy. He says, listen, you're not the greatest father. You're sinful, but you know how to give your kids good gifts. He said, what more will your heavenly Father, who's perfect, give you good things? Now let me ask you, if my kids ask for something that's not gonna be good for them, as a good father, am I gonna give it to them? Right? No, right? I'm not gonna do that. So it says, if your kid asks for some bread and you give him a serpent, that's not being a good father. But what if your kid asks for a serpent? Have you ever thought about that? Or what if a kid asks for something that is not good for them? Would the Heavenly Father, who is good and perfect, would he give it to them? The answer is no. Listen, in 2018, we got to recognize that when we ask God for things, he's only going to give us things that are good for us. Only. And sometimes we ask for things that are not good for us, and this is how much he loves us. He's not going to give it to us because he only gives us good things. And that should encourage us in 2018 to see God fulfill the promise that as we seek him, we would find him. As we ask him, we'll receive. As we knock, he'll answer the door. And honestly, as a church, this is what I'm praying over us, that we would not be a church that gets comfy. Right? It's so easy for us because as people, we like to plateau and we like to just kind of keep the status quo, right? Like things have gone well. We've gotten to a certain point. Like I've got my things in order. So now we're just, I don't want to be that church. I want to always be stepping in faith. I want to always be taking a little risk to say, what is God going to do next? And so as a church, I'm asking God that we would not be a people that are comfortable, but we would still have the thirst and hunger for God's presence. And we would be knocking on the door of heaven to get an answer, to get his presence. That's what I'm praying. The second thing that I'm praying over our church that I would love you to pray as well is found in the book of James. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to the book of James. James is a no-nonsense kind of book, kind of punches in the face sometimes. Some of us need that occasionally. And in James chapter 1, we see in verse 5 this very clear promise from the scriptures. If any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and it will be given without reproach. What he's saying is, if we recognize that we don't have wisdom in a certain area, and if we were to humble ourselves and ask God and recognizing I don't have, but God does have, right? That's humility. If we would ask him, he's going to give to us with no strings attached. Do you hear that truth? In 2018, if you recognize there's an area of your life where you lack wisdom and you ask God for his wisdom, I'm telling you, he will give you his wisdom. The question is, will we receive it? Will we want to align ourselves with the wisdom he's given? That is the challenge in 2018, because the word here says that if we ask, he gives. Now, I want to pull the curtain back a little bit on my prayer life. So you don't think too much of me, I think, as your pastor, because sometimes I'm telling you, sometimes I know because I've been just a congregation person, sometimes we put pastors on a pedestal. Please do not ever do that, by the way. I'm just a normal dude trying to love Jesus, jacked up for sure, but living by grace. And so hear me. Here's a little curtain pull back of my prayer life. God, I don't know what to do. Will you give me your wisdom? Amen. That's literally what I pray. God, I don't know how to lead the staff today. I don't know how to handle this counseling session. Will you give me your wisdom? I don't know what to preach in 2018, Father, so I'm just going to ask you, what is your wisdom? And here's the promise that I lean on. He says, if I would humble myself and posture myself before God and recognize I need his wisdom, that he is so, so grateful, and he pours out his wisdom for us. And this is why it's so important, because in this promise, it applies to every area of your life. In 2018, you're going to have an opportunity to make a career decision. I guarantee it. And in that moment, you're going to need not the wisdom of man, you're going to need the wisdom of God. In 2018, you're going to have some frustrating parenting moments. Guaranteed. You don't need the wisdom of man, you need the wisdom of God. And in 2018, you're going to have some relational conflict that's going to happen. I guarantee it. You don't need the wisdom of man. You need the wisdom of God. And what he promises each and every one of us, not just the pastors, not just Jesus freaks. He says, if you're a follower of his and you humble yourself and you ask for it, he will give it to you. And we've lived this out too many times to question it. When we were at the beginning of 2017, before we ever said yes to this church to come be the lead pastor, my wife and I were seeking and asking and knocking on the gates of heaven saying, God, what do you want? We had some opportunities to go other places in the country. We even said, God, we'll go overseas if you would like. We are open and available. Give us your wisdom, because the options in front of us, they all look like they could be for you. They could be glorifying to you. And so we need your wisdom. And so we began just to continue to pray. God, give us wisdom. Close the doors that need to be closed. Open the doors that need to be closed. Open. And we began to just take steps of faith. God, give us your wisdom. God, we don't know what to do. Man, this sounds crazy, but okay, we're going to take a step of faith. Open up the door, God, step of faith. Give me your wisdom. And one by one, God was faithful on his promise to give wisdom because he made it clear and clear that our call on our life was to be at Christ Fellowship. We asked for wisdom and he gave us wisdom. Listen, this is a promise in 2018 that I'm praying over our church, that we would be a church that recognized we need the insight of God because he sees everything. When things are struggling and hard at our church, we don't want to get so consumed with that. We need the big picture. God, what is your wisdom? What are you doing? Show me what you're doing. This is what I desire for our church, what I desire for you, that we would be people that seek out wisdom. As I said, though, to ask for wisdom, we've got to recognize there's some humility. And so a little bit later in James, in chapter 4, we see James, he gives us another, just this one-liner that is throughout the Bible, actually in several areas. This is what it said. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Isn't it interesting that God would ever oppose somebody? God who loves would oppose somebody. Isn't that interesting? You got to understand the reason why God would ever oppose somebody. You see, when we are walking in pride, we are walking independent from God. We're not relying on him. We're doing our own thing. We're maintaining our own thing. And when we're doing that, God says, I'm going to oppose you because when I oppose you, you're going to see where that leads. And when you get there, you're going to come around and turn back to me. So God's opposition is actually going to be an invitation to come back to him. Have you ever thought about that? And he says, but when you're walking in humility, I'm going to pour out my grace because in humility, you're going to be dependent upon me. And there's going to be grace upon grace that's going to be poured out on you. And then the author continues in verse 7 of chapter 4 of James. He says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now this is the next promise that I want us to really embrace as a church. How many of you know Satan has some schemes for you in 2018, right? Anybody raise your hand and say, you recognize there is a scheme where Satan wants to undermine what God is doing in your life in 2018. I guarantee it. Whatever it is, he's going to bring something against you. And so what the scriptures promises, if we would resist the devil, he will flee from us. Man, that's a promise that we should hold on to. Now what does that look like to resist the devil? I've shared this before in two parts. I think the simplicity of resisting the devil is to say no. It's a novel idea. When a temptation comes, we literally say, no, Satan, no, I'm not gonna do that. We tell our flesh no, and as I say no to the devil and his plans, I also turn and I say yes to God, right? I get my eyes back on Jesus. No, Satan, yes, Jesus. This is what it looks like to resist the devil, and when we do that, he will flee. That's what the word says. But this word resist is really like a word to withstand. So it's kind of taking a strong stand, coming against his schemes. And Paul writes about this in the book of Ephesians, his letter to the church of Ephesus. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he says, stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. And then he goes on and says, to stand firm, what it looks like is to put on the armor of God. And so I'm telling you, if you want to take a little deeper dive that I don't have time to go into, go look at Ephesians chapter 6 this week. And see what it looks like to stand firm and resist the devil so that he would flee. Because it talks about putting on the helmet of our salvation, put on the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the good news, the sandals of good news, to pick up the sword, to pick up the faith shield. And it says, when we do these things, this is what the promise of the scripture is, that Satan will flee from you. Satan will flee if we resist him. But the second promise in this verse says that not only will Satan flee when we resist him, but that when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Listen, I'm telling you, in 2018, if you're like, man, I want to know God more. I want to understand him. I want to walk with him. I want to just experientially know, not just in my head. I want to actually know him. This is the verse for you. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So in 2018, what does that look like for you? To grab hold of this promise. Man, maybe you spend a little extra time in prayer. Maybe you get to know God through his word. Maybe you watch a sermon online, or maybe you listen to a podcast. The promise of God is if we would draw near to him, he would draw near to us. A promise that we can trust every single time. Now the next to last thing I want to look at is one more promise that has to do with temptation, and that is in 1 Corinthians 10. So as we talk about resisting the devil and his ways, listen, I want to tell you something. This is going to be challenging for some of us. This is going to undo our victim mentality when it comes to temptation. Right? All of us are tempted. Jesus was tempted. We should not be surprised by that. But this verse right here is going to empower us, but also challenge us right here. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way to escape that you may be able to endure it." Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you're struggling with some kind of addictive behavior, if you're struggling with some cycle of sin, if you find yourself making bad decisions, sinful decision after sinful decision in your relationships, and you're just chalking it up to, man, that temptation is just bigger than me, let me just give some challenging truth to you. What the Word of God says is no temptation is given to you that you can't actually overcome. That in everybody say every means every temptation that comes your way in 2018, God has given you a way out. That is good news. That is good news for the addict. That's good news for those struggling with adultery, those that are struggling with pornography, those that are struggling with the way they speak. Listen, any temptation Satan dangles in front of you, God says, hey, listen, I know it's there. I was tempted too. But listen, I've given you a way out in 2018. And that could look a different ways. That could look like you saying no to Satan. That may look like you go to one of the celebrate recovery groups. That may look like you confessing your sin to another brother or sister in Christ. I don't know what it looks like, but what I see in the scripture right here is the promises. There's no temptation that God allows you to be tempted with that you cannot overcome. And that should encourage us in 2018. And the last promise is a promise that we actually sang about and that I'm praying over our church, and that's a promise of God's love found in Romans chapter 8. This last promise is one that I think if we would get this in 2018, our lives would be transformed, our church would be transformed, and this area of the country would be transformed. Let me read you Paul's words. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can stand against us?" Are y'all awake? Did you hear just what the Word of God said? It says, if God is for us, who can stand against us? "He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?" Who can do it? Nobody. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Nobody. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Now listen to this. This is where it gets good. I'm telling you, if this doesn't get your heart beating a little bit as a child of God, man, we might need to do some CPR. Listen to this. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Now listen, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, that's a promise for 2018. That, listen, the love of God is stronger than any scheme of Satan. The love of God is stronger than any one of your failures in 2018. Listen, I'm telling you right now, Satan is going to try to undermine this truth in your life. He tries to do it in my life. He's going to do it in your life. This is what we see in the Word of God. He's going to try to get you to think that you have done something, that you have thought something, that you have made a decision that is somehow going to keep you from the God who is love. And I'm telling you, if you're a follower of Christ, there's nothing in 2018 that's going to be able to remove you from his love. Nothing that you could do, nothing that you could say, nothing that the enemy could bring against you. No doctor's report, no job loss, no relational conflict, nothing can remove you from God's love in 2018. That is an amazing promise. And we need to depend on that, because when we do that, listen, we're gonna operate as children of God. Our identity is gonna be rooted as a child of God. as an heir to Christ. And when that happens, listen, all the world will take notice. Our influence is going to increase, or we're going to see the kingdom come at Christ Fellowship as it is in heaven. We're going to see the kingdom come in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. We're going to see God do some extraordinary things through us as we recognize that we are loved and we operate out of that deep love. Not performance. It's what Jesus did on the cross. It's grace upon grace, grace upon grace. These are the things that I'm praying for us as a church, and I would invite you to pray that we would be a people that aren't comfortable. We would ask, that we would seek, that we would knock, that we would pursue God by asking for his wisdom, that we would stand in the promise that he says any temptation, we have a way out, and that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And most importantly, that you are loved. You are loved. Never by the lie that says you've disqualified yourself from his love, because it can't happen. Christ died once for all. You are loved. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this time this morning, that we can stand on your promises, that we can stand on your truth, that we can depend upon you, that you are faithful. When you say it will come to pass, it will. So Lord, may we be a people at Christ Fellowship that are people that live by faith, people that stand on your promises, that people that that ask because you're a good daddy, that seek you because you're a good daddy, that knock on the door because you're a good father and you always give us good things. May we trust you this year more than we did this year. May 2018 be a year of experiencing you in ways that we never thought possible. In Jesus' name, amen.